Good morning. As you can see, I am delivering the message from the Word this morning, and there is no title for the message, because I never get this done in time to have a title that would make it into the slides, or the bulletin, for that matter. Our message today is called Another Helper, the Spirit of Truth. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a couple of nephews that are here today, and they were coming down to visit. They've got a sister who's playing in a basketball tournament, and they did not know that they were going to still hear a message from a birdie this morning. Their dad is their pastor, and he's also a seminary professor, so I hope they're not taking great notes and reporting back on this. But anyway, they get to hear a message from a birdie. Anyway, so the last few weeks, we have been in the book of John. Pastor Danny has been bringing us the message of the Word from a number of different chapters. We've heard a lot of wonderful, encouraging messages about our faith, about how Jesus outfits us for His mission, about how we hear and recognize Jesus' voice. And last week we heard from John 17 about Jesus praying for unity for us. And today we actually jump, even though we were in chapter 17, we jump ahead, backwards, earlier in the chapter, to chapter 14. So in chapter 14, this is all still part of the same discussion. So chapters 13 through 18 in John, Jesus is recorded as spending a lot of time with his disciples. It's one of the longest parts of the Bible where there's just like, I think John just recorded every word Jesus said, as opposed to giving us summaries that we get in many of the other Gospels. So we get this wonderful, intimate look at the words of Jesus. And the context for this, so the disciples are in the upper room. Earlier that evening, when they arrived for their dinner, Jesus washed their feet as a servant, and then he warned them in part of the discussion that one of them was going to betray him. That was Judas. Judas left. Judas Iscariot, specifically, he left. And then Jesus has continued to teach them. And in this teaching and in this time, he is preparing them for the fact that he will be leaving. Just prior to our text today, in the early part of chapter 14, Jesus tells them in response to the question that one of them asked about how will we know the way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of the famous phrases we get in Scripture. So he's preparing his disciples for the fact that his earthly mission is coming to an end, that his physical time with them will be coming to a close, and he's getting them ready for this next phase of ministry. So as we hear today's text, would you stand as I read to us John 14, verses 15 through 31. The words of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you encouraged your disciples with and can encourage us with today. We just pray that you would hear this that you would help us to hear this blessing and apply it to our lives. In your name, amen. You can be seated. So as I was preparing for this text this week or a couple of weeks, it was interesting going through it because as you are listening, you're probably hearing lots of wonderful phrases that deserve unpacking. Jesus says to us, says to his disciples, so much in this message. There are, I think, lots of opportunities for study, for a sermon that could take a lot of different routes. Jesus talks to us about love, obedience, peace, the fact that he's leaving. He talks about his relationship with the Father. There's a little reference to the ruler of the world and what that means, right? There's a question that Judas, not Iscariot, I appreciate that the writer included that for us, because earlier Judas Iscariot left, that Judas, not Iscariot, asked Jesus, and it seems like on first reading maybe Jesus kind of dodges the question a little bit with a different answer, which we're not going to unpack today. So if you want to talk about that, I'm happy to afterwards. But if that was something that is question in your head bouncing around, I'll encourage you for some future study. But he also talks about the Holy Spirit, and that is what we're going to talk about today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, so in our text we get to turn our attention to this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, whom our Lord calls in the text another helper and the Spirit of truth. So from the lips of our Savior, they're in the upper room. This is the night of his betrayal. His crucifixion is imminent. Jesus knows this. His disciples do not. And he gives words of deep encouragement, unshakable hope, and a profound promise to us that we will hear today. This is a moment of love, reassurance, and theological significance that is taking place in this chapter. If we go back to the start of it and we hear the words that Jesus speaks to us in verse 15 and 16, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. Soon, we know the story of Scripture, Jesus will be arrested, he'll be crucified, he will die and be buried. He knows what's coming. He knows that his disciples do not, and that they will soon experience fear, confusion, sadness. They will be overwhelmed that what they were hoping for didn't seem to take place. And so Jesus doesn't, though, leave them in the dark. He gives them light. He gives them hope. He promises his Holy Spirit is coming. We saw in Acts earlier today how visibly obvious it was when the Holy Spirit comes in a profound way to the disciples. The Greek word for Holy Spirit used in our passage, we get it translated as helper, typically in our Bible. The word is parakletos, which I don't know that I am pronouncing correct. I checked with Tobias, who has studied more language than I have, and he gave me a couple of alternative options. I don't even remember him now. Anyhow, I'm going with parakletos today because it looks phonetic. So oftentimes, this word parakletos that is translated for us as helper can be translated as advocate, comforter, counselor. These are all words that we associate with the Holy Spirit from Scripture. It means that there is one who comes alongside to help, to strengthen, to defend. Even in Jesus' day, it was used as one, as a word to describe one's legal advocate. When I think of the word counselor, Sarah and I used to watch the show Law and Order. If those of you who maybe go back a ways remember on NBC on what Thursday nights, I don't remember exactly, show Law and Order was on. It was a police slash lawyer procedural drama. There's always a case, and the word counselor I just associate in my head from that show, where the judge is addressing the lawyers as counselor, come to the bench, right? And they talk about whatever it was, right? So that word counselor, advocate, they were taking up the side of their client and being an advocate for them in a legal way. So it's the same root as this word parakletos that is used for us. So anyway, Jesus is telling his followers that they will be receiving another parakletos from the Father, another helper. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. So the word another here is important. Jesus is the first helper. He is God in the flesh. He has walked with his disciples. He has healed them. He has taught them. He is physically with them. He has forgave them. But now he is promising that there is another who will continue the work that he is doing. Not in a body, not physically, not in the same way that Jesus has done, but through the word and through the indwelling in their hearts and the hearts of all believers. It's important for us to understand this is not a downgrade. The Spirit is not a spiritual understudy that Jesus is giving. This isn't his assistant. The Spirit is God himself, co-equal in glory and majesty with the Father and Son. And Jesus promises to them, he will be with you forever. This is profound, even though we may have heard this for our entire lives as Christians. This is profound. Let us be clear. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. He's not like a feeling. We don't just feel good. It's not a subsidiary of God. The Spirit is true God. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. He was present at creation. He spoke through the prophets. He overshadowed Mary at the incarnation. He descended at Jesus' baptism and came upon the apostles at Pentecost, as we heard. He has guided the words that created our scriptures. And friends, he comes to us. Jesus tells us he comes to us. If we are believers, we have the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is a profound mystery, but yet it is also fairly well explained. Christian theology through history has spent a lot of time wrestling with what the Spirit does. And I like the explanation given in Luther's Small Catechism because I think it's very clear. And for those of you who maybe have been through confirmation and maybe were assigned the question on the explanation of the third article, does anybody want to come up and remember it and share it with us? I don't know if Ford or Tobias, I remember what you, Andrew, right? Maybe what you guys had. I'll read it for you, so I'm not going to rely on somebody memorizing this. But this is in response to the Apostles' Creed. When we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Apostles' Creed, what do we learn in the explanation? We mean that I believe that I cannot, by my own strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and preserved me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and preserves it in union with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is the Spirit's chief work for us, to bring us to Christ, to bring you to Christ, to open your ears to hear, your hearts to believe, and your mouth to confess Jesus as Lord. He is the one who delivers us, who delivers us and informs us of forgiveness, of the work that Christ completed and won on the cross. He does this through means, through the word, through baptism, through communion. These are the means of the Spirit working in our lives. He is not a spirit of chaos or confusion. He is a spirit of truth. Jesus goes on to say in our text, you know him, referring to the Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a tender word he gives us. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as children with no parents. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd. He does not abandon his sheep. Even though Jesus would ascend to the right hand of the Father, his presence would not be removed. The Holy Spirit unites us with Christ so intimately that later on in our text, Jesus says, I am in my Father as you in me and I in you. The Holy Spirit is what gives us unity. And this isn't a metaphor that Jesus is using. This is his direct words. This is the reality that we have as believers, that the Spirit of God takes up residence in you. He sanctifies you. He reminds you of all that Jesus has said. And this sanctifying and preserving work that the Spirit is doing in your life. He brings us peace. Not as the world gives peace, Jesus says, but as Christ alone gives peace. What does it mean by peace? What does peace mean, particularly in this context? This peace is not the absence of trouble in our lives, but the presence of the true God. This peace does not mean that we will have an easy life on earth where everything goes right. We saw the disciples did not have easy, peaceful lives on earth. They faced hatred, persecution, jailing, death for most of them. Well, they all faced death, some in a non-natural way. Yet they were not alone. They had peace. The Spirit gave them courage, clarity, comfort. The Spirit brought back the words of Jesus to them. We see it immediately later in our text of John, where we see their reaction to what's happened to Jesus on the cross. They don't know how to deal with it, right? They are not experiencing peace in those moments. But then Jesus does rise, and he appears to them, and then he leaves them his Spirit, his Comforter, that we see in Acts. So let's jump back a little bit to the beginning of our passage, where Jesus tells us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And it's important for us to understand that this is not a condition for us of receiving the Spirit. Jesus is not saying, "If you love me and keep my commands, then I will give you the Spirit." This is not love and obedience to earn the right to have the Spirit of God in us. We receive the Spirit as a gift, by grace. It's important for us to understand, as Luther has taught, faith alone saves us. Faith alone gives us the Spirit. But saving faith is never alone. The fruit of this faith that we have is love, the love that Jesus is talking about. And that love leads us to obedience, to knowing his commands and obeying them. To keep Christ's commands is not merely to follow rules, it is not merely to follow rules. It's not a checklist where we're trying to make sure we do all the right things and don't do all the other things, although that might be good to do. But it is to remain in his word, to love one another, and to cling to his gospel and the truth that he gives us. As we live our lives in this world of lies and shifting values, the Spirit anchors us to truth. The Spirit anchors us to the Spirit's truth, to his truth. It is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's our anchor. Jesus concludes our passage today with these words, coming back to the idea of peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That summarizes the gospel for us in a single verse. The world gives us a peace that is fragile, fake, and fading, but Jesus gives us a peace rooted in the cross, sealed by his resurrection, and delivered and preserved by the Spirit that he promises that we all have. When your conscience accuses you, when your faith feels weak, when death draws near, this peace still endures. The Spirit reminds us, "You have been given faith. You are forgiven. You are never alone. I am with you." So as we conclude this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, let us remember what Jesus has promised in this text: a helper who will never leave us, a Spirit of truth who leads us to Christ, and a peace that no storm can shake. Friends, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. For Christ has died, he has risen, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen.